From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo has said he is optimistic about the prospect of the Indonesian Sharia economy. The president noted while opening the second Muslim Economic Congress in Jakarta on Friday that in Indonesia, Sharia's economy, which was ranked 9th in 2014, has grown to the fourth largest in the world in 2020 to 2021. More than 1,300 participants joined the opening ceremony of the Congress, with 250 participating in person and 1,250 others online. Government spokesperson for COVID-19 handling Reza Broto Asmoro has urged all parties to remain alert even though genome sequencing has not detected the Omicron variant in Indonesia. She said at a virtual press conference on Friday that even though Indonesia's whole genome sequencing has shown that the Omicron variant is not found yet, high vigilance will still bring benefit to all of us compared to being careless and complacent. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno on his statement virtually at RRI Voice of Indonesia's Diplomatic Forum on Friday in Bali hope that Bali tourism could immediately recover after being deeply affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Sandiaga also said that the Indonesian government decided to change the regulation and restrictions imposed on foreign tourists using direct flights to Bali.
We all hope that tourism Bali will revive as quickly as possible. One of the near-term goals is to change the restrictions for international tourists who take direct flights. Although Kemenparekraf does not have authority over aviation laws and regulations, we will continue to work with related ministries and agencies. We hope that with more flexible travel rules and a focus on the precautionary principle, Bali may once again welcome international tourists from potential markets such as Australia, India, South Korea, and Malaysia.
Moreover, Sandiaga Uno noted that the COVID-19 pandemic, which had spread for the last 2 years, had changed the global tourism landscape and would never return to the same as before the pandemic occurred. In 2020, the number of foreigners' arrivals to Indonesia decreased by 75% compared to the previous year. The room occupancy rate is only at 17.7% in October 2021. Nevertheless, he said that Indonesia must be grateful because the Indonesian government was able to control the rate of transmission of the virus in the last 2 months. The policy of the Indonesian government to open international flights to Bali has not given the impact yet. Head of Tourism Marketing of Bali Provincial Tourism Office, Ida Ayu Indah Yustikarini, at the Diplomatic Forum talk show organized by Voice of Indonesia in Bali on Friday, explained that until now, there had been no foreign tourist visits since the opening of the state border in mid-October 2021. Yustikarini further noted there were 431 foreign visits to Bali, but they were business people and not classified as foreign tourists.
For us in Bali, the impact of the opening Bali for the international flights that has been started since the last 14th October 2021, now for the foreign tourists, well, I can say still zero. But from the data we have got from the Bank of Indonesia, we still have got foreigners come to Bali, probably as the businessman, for those who are holding the business essentials visa. We have got 431 people.
Even though there have been no foreign arrivals, the provincial governments of Bali make sure all parties that Bali is very ready to accept foreign tourist arrivals, even amid the spread of the Omicron variant. Stikar ini at the diplomatic forum with the theme "The Impact of Opening the International Flights to Bali" explained that the readiness of the province to accept foreign tourists amid the outbreak of the Omicron variant is because the complete dose of vaccination has reached more than 90%. Meanwhile, related to no foreign tourist visit to Bali, Deputy Chairperson of the Badung Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association Management Agency, Arya Wibawaraka, as one of the speakers at the diplomatic forum, explained that foreign tourist visits were not only related to Indonesian government regulation and Bali readiness, but also related to policies of other countries which provide travel permit to Bali.
I think you have to understand that we decided to open our border, but that's from our side. How about the other side? What is our market? Is Australia, for example, that is one of our primary market. Has the government of Australia allowed their citizen to go traveling overseas? And what is the regulation also in Australia for their people who's coming back from holiday? This is the kind of thing that we have to understand.
In addition, Arya Wibawaraka asked the government to make diplomatic efforts with other countries' travel permits to convince them that Bali is safe and comfortable to visit, particularly health sector. Let's move it on to the international news. The world's wealthiest democracies will on Saturday seek to present a united front against Russia's aggressions towards Ukraine when Britain hosts a meeting of foreign ministers in the northern English city of Liverpool. The G7 meeting, attended in person by US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his counterparts from France, Italy, Germany, Japan and Canada, comes amid international concerns Russia's could invade Ukraine. Russia denies planning any attack. Brazil has had 7,765 new cases of the novel coronavirus reported in the past 24 hours and 234 deaths from COVID-19. The Brazil's health ministries reported on Friday the South American country has now registered more than 22 million cases since the pandemic began, while the official death toll has risen to more than 600,000 according to ministry's data, in the world's second deadliest outbreak outside the United States. President Emmanuel Macron has said that France has no plans to join a diplomatic boycott of the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. President Macron said any such move would be insignificant and merely symbolic. The US, UK, Canada and Australia have said they will not send government representatives to the February Games because of concerns over China's human rights record. This includes allegations of abuse against Uyghur and other minorities. Listener, that was the news. first news comes from the city of Pariaman, West Sumatra. Apar Tourism Village in Pariaman City, West Sumatra won third place in the Digital Village category at the 2021 Indonesian Tourism Village Award, announced by the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy on Tuesday night. The Apar Village has many tourism destinations that can spoil the eyes of visitors, such as mangrove forests equipped with roaming tracks, gazebos, and towers. In addition, tourists can also see various types of mangroves and the ecosystem of living things that exist in it. With canoes, visitors can explore the mangrove forest and buy various processed foods and beverages whose raw ingredients are from mangroves. Next news comes from Jambi. The Bank Indonesia Jambi Representative Office held a cultural event in Jambi City's Seberang on Wednesday. Head of Bank Indonesia Jambi Province Representative Suti Masniari Nasution said that to support tourism development in Jambi Seberang City, the Jambi Province Bank Indonesia Representative Office held Kenduri Budayo Jambi 2021. This event presented activities that could remind visitors to recollect the nuances of the past or experience the ancient Jambi tradition, especially in Jambi City Seberang, such as eating together or what the local community knows as eating berawang. Kenduri Budayo featured Jambi's cultural richness, ranging from traditional arts, special foods, handicrafts to traditional Jambi fabrics. The activity was enlivened with kompangan performances, traditional saloko, Jambi batik fashion shows, and eating together traditions. The last news comes from Tabalong Regency, South Kalimantan. A total of 11 local specific durian varieties in Tabalong Regency, South Kalimantan, receive a communal intellectual property certificate from the Ministry of Law and Human Rights. Regent of Tabalong, Anang Syahfiani, in Tanjung Thursday said that the certificate was handed over directly through the head of the regional office of the Minister of Law and Human Rights of South Kalimantan Province, Tejo Warwanto. Tabalong is a district known for its wealth of natural resources such as mining, forests, and culture. Tabalong Regency, which is also known as a paradise for endemic fruits, can be found in many forest areas including durian and other rare fruits.
We begin today's news story with the event on December 11, 1979, when Blora Regency was established. Blora is one of the regencies in Central Java. It is located about 127 kilometers east of Semarang. It is also located in the eastern area of Central Java and directly shares a border with East Java Province. Blora has low water land or muddy soil. From the Pajang era to the Mataram era, Blora Regency became an important area for the central government of the kingdom because Blora was famous for its thick forests. Blora officially became a regency on Thursday, December 11, 1979. Blora's first regent is Willa Tikta. Until now, the date has been designated as the anniversary of Blora Regency. Now we turn to the event of December 11, 1946, the formation of UNICEF. The United Nations General Assembly established the United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, on December 11, 1946. At the time, UNICEF was established with the name United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. Ludwig Rajman from Poland became the first head of UNICEF, and he was believed to be the founder of UNICEF. Initially, UNICEF was founded to provide food assistance and health emergencies in countries affected by Second World War. However, in 1953, its duties were expanded to handle the needs of children in developing countries. At the time, UNICEF was stipulated as a permanent part of the United Nations system. Since then, the words international and emergency have been removed from the organization's name so that it is known as the United Nations Children's Fund or UNICEF. When today in history with the event of December 11, 2008, the death of Dr. H.C. Ali Alatas in Singapore. Ali Alatas passed away on December 11, 2008 at the age of 76. He was an Indonesian diplomat who served as Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia from 1988 until 1999 under President Suharto and B.J. Habibie. When he passed away, he was still serving as Special Envoy of the UN Secretary General for Myanmar, Special Envoy of the President of the Republic of Indonesia for Middle East Issues, and Chairperson of the Presidential Advisory Council under Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. He suffered from a heart attack on November 20, 2008 and was hospitalized for several days in Jakarta. Then he was taken to Mount Elizabeth Hospital in Singapore. He passed away at the hospital at 7:30 local time. His body was buried at the Kalibata Hero Cemetery on December 12, 2008 with a military ceremony led by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. And listener, that's today in history.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Ku menanti banyak cinta datang dan pergi, tapi tak pernah aku senyaman ini. Mungkin dirimulah cinta sejati. Tak akan ku ragu lagi. Jaga sampai ke ujung nadi, takkan ku sia-siakan lagi. Buat hidupku lebih berarti, cintamu senyaman mentari pagi, seperti pelangi selalu ku nanti. Cintamu tak akan pernah terganti selamanya di hati. Aku bahagia milikimu seutuhnya. Tak akan ku ragu lagi. Jaga sampai ke ujung nadi, takkan ku sia-siakan lagi. Buat hidupku lebih berarti, cintamu senyaman mentari pagi, seperti pelangi selalu ku nanti. Cintamu tak akan pernah terganti selama.
berarti.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga said that the Indonesia-Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IKCEPA, pushed both countries' relations to higher level. They agreed to encourage relationship to a higher level in the fields of industry, infrastructure, manpower, and economy, as well as trade. This was expressed by Jerry Sambuaga at the socialization of the results of the IKCEPA International Trade Negotiations, which was held in hybrid manner in Surabaya, East Java on Tuesday. According to Jerry Sambuaga, this will provide a comprehensive institutional framework for bilateral cooperation of both countries. Furthermore, Jerry Sambuaga also explained that through the agreement, Indonesia and South Korea are committed to opening a better market for goods compared with the one offered in the Asian-Korea Free Trade Area. South Korea's commitment marked better access, wider and more special to the South Korean market, both for large companies and small-medium enterprises. In the investment sector, both countries are committed to opening up opportunities to increase South Korean investment in Indonesia, which will absorb workers. In addition, Indonesia also provides facilities in the form of additional preferences for the 104 tariff posts for raw materials that South Korea needs to invest in Indonesia. In the Indonesian-Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, both sides are also committed to carrying out economic cooperation in various fields, such as industry, agriculture, fisheries, forestry, trade rules and procedures, infrastructure, technology and innovation, culture and creative fields, as well as small and medium enterprises. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga further stated that Indonesia can ask for technical assistance from South Korea by sharing best practices and training to be able to improve the quality of human resources. Citing a press statement from the Ministry of Trade, the total trade between Indonesia and South Korea in the period January to September 2021 was recorded at $13.25 billion, an increase of more than 37% compared to the same period last year. Of this value, Indonesia's export to South Korea amounted to $6.44 billion. Meanwhile, Indonesia's imports from the South Korea amounted to $6.81 billion.
Semoga ada yang menerangi sisi gelap ini, menanti seperti pelangi setia menunggu hujan reda. Aku selalu suka sahabat. semoga ada yang menerangi sisi gelap ini, menanti seperti pelangi setia menunggu hujan.
Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, Indonesia is an archipelago country. There are thousands of islands throughout Indonesia. One of them is Alor Island. This island, which shares a border with Timor-Leste, is one of the outermost islands. It is famous for its marine tourism. There are many interesting spots for diving and snorkeling. Even in Alor Island, there are 18 diving points, which are known to have the most beautiful underwater views. Besides its clear water, Alor Island also has various beautiful ecosystems. Moreover, Alor Island has a typical cake called kue rambut, which means hair cake. This cake is shaped like hair. The color looks like dark blonde. The hair cake is made from a mixture of rice flour, palm sugar, coconut milk, water, salt, and oil. To shape like hair, the dough is molded with coconut shells or cans that have been perforated. The oil used for frying this hair cake dough must also be a lot and very hot. Apart from being a souvenir, because of its unique shape and sweet taste, this snack is also suitable for traveling around the Alor Island. Listener, the hair cake looks like rice noodles, which are fried dry and has a slightly wavy shape like curly hair and a triangular shape. Alor people usually call the hair cake jawada, commonly served during special events and traditional ceremonies. The hair cake is appropriate as a gift because it can last a long time when stored in a dry jar or airtight container. Although the making process is fairly easy, it needs time and accuracy. listener in Alor Island, you can find this hair cake at Kadalang Market in Kalabahi. In addition to being taken as a souvenir or gift, you can also enjoy it at the Seller's Place or the mini restaurant with a cup of coffee. The sweet taste of the hair cake will disguise the bitter taste of the coffee, and the taste sensation is very delicious. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Indonesia is famous for its various coffee products. Arabica and Robusta coffee types sound more familiar to our ears, even though there are other types, namely Liberica, which are relatively rare in the market. Efforts to introduce Liberica coffee continue to be carried out. Recently, in North Kayong Regency in West Kalimantan, local coffee farmers announced their first coffee variety, namely Kayong Liberica coffee. This coffee has obtained legality from the Center for Plant Variety Protection and Agricultural Licensing of the Ministry of Agriculture. Yusianto, a coffee taster and researcher from the Indonesian Coffee and Cocoa Research Center or Puslit Koka in Jember, explained that Liberica coffee by the public is commonly called Nongko coffee or jackfruit coffee because it has large seeds, can be twice that of Arabica coffee beans, and it has a vegetable aroma. Liberica coffee leaves also contain more caffeine than the beans. Most Liberica coffee thrives in the lowlands with an altitude of 400 until 600 meters above sea level. To grow this type of coffee, it takes an area with an ideal temperature of a maximum of 27 until 30 degrees Celsius, with rainfall of around 1,500 until 2,000 millimeters per year, complete with full sun and under other trees. Liberica Kayong coffee has a variety of distinctive fruity flavors. That's because this coffee grows on the coast and around the coffee plantations. There are wild plants such as guava and others that affect the taste of coffee. Kayong Liberica coffee has broken the record for the highest Liberica coffee sales and received an award from the Indonesian Record Museum. The sale was made in a coffee auction in the Indonesian Coffee Dictionary. At the event, Kayong specialty coffee was sold for 8 million rupiahs per kilogram. The buyers for the coffee came from South Korea to Canada. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
Metanoia jadi gol. Sewaktu tergundul di hujan peluru, bertubi-tubi rasa salah dosa memburu. Di tengah gemuruh ombak menerpa, ku putuskan berlutut lalu rebah. Kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah, segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah. Hey, let's go. Over. That's why I'm grateful. Yeah. Grace overwhelming, my God is able to transform me like Optimus Prime. What? There is no turning back again this time. Yes. Yeah.
usiran tak ternyata kau mampu berikan asa.
Biarlah atasku kau berkuasa,
yang kau yang kupuja.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today I'm going to present to you a keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta, sung by Toto Salmon. The song Bandar Jakarta was composed by Iskandar and it describes the beautiful coast of Jakarta at dusk. There are white birds flying, waves breaking on the shore, and boats sailing. This song also describes the enchantment of the Seribu Islands in the Bay of Jakarta. Well, listener, here is the keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta, sung by Toto Salmon. Enjoy the song!
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.